The Senate race comes down to the wire. Are the polls accurate? Super PAC spending in the 5th Congressional District. What a Daniels endorsement is worth and Joe Biden in Indiana. That plus tax money misplaced again. Predictions and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending May 4, 2012.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, Republican Richard Murdoch picked up another national endorsement in his bid to unseat Richard Lugar in next week's GOP Senate primary. Murdoch is getting a contribution from the Political Action Committee known as Term Limits America. It's the only endorsement being issued this year by the group, which believes senators should be limited to 2 terms in office. Dick Lugar is running for his 7th term.
Senator Dick Lugar has long been an impediment, an obstacle to achieving congressional term limits.
I think those who think that they are indispensable are quite incorrect.
Is Dick Lugar the poster child for term limits? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanis, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm with TV State House reporter Jim Shello. Mike McDaniel, let's begin with the poll that came out today. It shows Murdoch ahead 48 to 38. Does he have this race sewn up?
I don't think you can determine that yet. I think that this is still about turnout because I think there are going to be so few people show up. The Lugar camp has been touting for months their micro-targeting process and their turnout effort, and I think they will have a direct advantage on turnout on Election Day. I'm always amazed in these modern campaigns that if you spend $4 or $5 million and you don't pay attention to the basics of IDing your voters and getting them out on Election Day. I think Lugar's done that. I don't know if Murdoch has or not. But in a close race, it still could happen, and that could be the difference.
10 points, mm-hmm. 4 days out. Mm-hmm. Or actually, this poll was in the field 1 week out. That's a big margin.
The race is over, okay? The race is over. And the Republicans are going to nominate a total Tea Party ticket. They're going to put Murdoch at the top, and they're going to put Mike Pence second. And if they nominate McIntosh, and who knows what happens in the sixth, they're going to have a total right-wing Tea Party ticket. And, you know, it's interesting because the exact thing that made Lugar effective as a senator all these years was his ability to reach out to the other side and to do some things for the common good and all of that. And then you've got Murdoch standing up there and saying the problem with Washington is that there's too much bipartisanship. I don't know what alternate universe he's in, but the Tea Party motto is my way or I shut the country down. And that's what we're going to have for governor and senator on their ticket.
Meantime, Dick Lugar is saying that Richard Murdoch is unqualified. And yet it's the internals in this poll will tell you that the public thinks that Lugar's the guy who's run the negative campaign here, even though there have been many more commercials on the other side.
Well, I think the problem for the senator is the perception problem is clearly broken against him, and the anti-incumbency problem has broke against him like a tsunami. So he's had all of these negative factors going against him, and I don't mean negative advertising, I mean factors against him, and he has not responded as a campaign in a way that will turn public opinion in his direction. He did decide to answer negative with negative, and I think that a lot of people were caught short by that, and I think that that is probably why the public in this poll says they think Richard Lugar is more negative, because they aren't used to seeing this from Senator Lugar. So the campaign made a calculation, it rolled the dice, and it looks like they're going to come off snake eyes.
Senator Lugar needed to make this a choice. He needed to make it Lugar versus Murdoch rather than a referendum on Richard Lugar. And if you look at the internals of the poll, 10 of the top 11 reasons people choose to support Murdoch is anti-Lugar. This is a referendum on Dick Lugar.
Dick Lugar, and to echo what John said, not just Dick Lugar, it could be a cardboard cutout who's been in office for 6 terms, and you have the baggage that inevitably goes with being somebody on Capitol Hill, an institution which collectively is not well regarded. I'm referring it to Congress. So yes, maybe there are some people who have bought the argument that he is out of sync with Hoosier Republicans, that he has been too nice or supportive to the Obama administration. But I think even if, in fact, this turns out, as this poll suggests, I think the bigger issue is simply this sort of mood that the electorate has every so often that it's basically time for change. And 6 terms is
begs
a long
the question.
Time.
Dick Lugar didn't run a good campaign.
Three quarters of the people who responded saying they were going to vote for Murdoch said the number one reason they were was because Dick Lugar was too old. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with Murdoch. That, as you said, that has more to do with the senator, which I think is unfortunate. But the other part of it that got me was the external on that one was three-fifths of those polled said they wanted somebody that could reach across the aisle and work with the other side to solve problems. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that is Dick Lugar, you know, and Murdoch ran on the idea that we don't need to do that.
Joe Donnelly.
So it's interesting that would be the response. I mean, one side they're saying one thing, and the other side they're saying it doesn't make any difference. So I think the age thing is the biggest factor, but I still think this thing is a turnout election. I really do.
Okay. But if you're the Democrats, a Murdoch win is a best-case scenario.
Oh, I think we would prefer Murdoch, okay? But I don't think it necessarily matters because the same vulnerabilities that have shown up. Well, no, what I'm saying
but again,
is the seven terms is still a liability going into the general election is what I'm trying to say.
But even back to the internals, by a 40 to 35 count, the people who are saying they're going to vote for Murdoch said that Lugar had a better chance in the fall.
Yeah.
But you know what? And when you look at those internals, too, Murdoch's negatives are very, very high among his own people, deservedly so. So we'll see.
What looks like a contradiction in the poll really is that people think that the senator is too old, but they like the fact that he is moderate and will reach across the lines, and I think that plays perfectly into Joe Donnelly's favor.
You know, one thing interesting, too, 2 years ago when we saw some longtime Republican incumbents knocked off in other parts of the country, west of us and east of us, one thing we talked about was that they were surprised at that point by this fledgling Tea Party movement, which was just coalescing. And the one thing we stipulated probably a year or more ago was that there would be no surprises here. Dick Lugar would see this coming, and he did. And they've tried and spent the money, but for any number of reasons, it apparently hasn't. The counterattack hasn't resonated.
You can argue whether or not they ran a smart campaign, but the difference in this over 2 years ago is the outside money again. It's pouring in here, and that's what we said from the beginning.
$4 million against
it would make Lugar would make him vulnerable in the first place if Murdoch could get that message out. And obviously,
these
unknown faces from out of state are getting that message out.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week, we pose an unscientific poll question in connection with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, do you support term limits? Your choices are A, yes, change is good, or B, no, that's why we have elections. Last week's question was, is it a good idea to lift the sales tax on gasoline? 24% said yes, gas is a necessity. 44% said no, the state can't afford it. 32% said we need to redo the entire tax system. To take part in the poll, just go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Money from super PACs arrived in the 5th District GOP primary battle this week. Susan Brooks was unaware of a super PAC ad in support of opponent David McIntosh until we brought it to her attention.
I have not seen this.
The ad is from the Campaign for Primary Accountability, a PAC based in Texas.
We need David McIntosh, principled and proven.
The McIntosh campaign declined comment on the ad, but Brooks says she's against super PACs.
They have an opportunity to influence voters about a race without the candidate's input.
And you don't like that?
Well, I don't like that because it's unclear as to who the people are, what their motives are.
Yet Brooks is also benefiting from a super PAC. Mailers attacking McIntosh encourage voters to support her instead. The source is the Citizens for a Working America PAC based in Ohio. It even quotes New Jersey Governor Chris Christie in comments made at a Brooks fundraiser.
But I don't have a problem with the message, because I believe the message is true. And I think that the voters in the 5th deserve the truth.
And Delaney, will super PAC money determine the outcome in the 5th?
I don't know if it'll determine it, but it's certainly going to have a role to play. I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about that and the fact that it plays so heavily in this election. I always said it's a bad idea, but you can't have anybody unilaterally disarm when that much money is being spent against you. And one of the biggest problems, I think Susan Brooks is right on this, one of the biggest problems is there's an ad out there, okay, that accuses her of being pro-abortion and John McGough of being pro-abortion in the same ad. It's just false. And nobody has to bear responsibility for putting that false ad out. You don't see McIntosh repudiating it. Oh, I didn't do it.
Well, McIntosh has got a website that says the same thing.
Oh, okay. So he is doing it. So he doesn't care whether he's playing fast and loose with the truth. And that's what's really reprehensible about this.
Yeah, actually, three super PACs playing. There's an anesthesiologist PAC that's supporting Dr. John McGough. But really, the money here is...
There's a punchline there.
Yeah.
I think never mind.
The big money is supporting McIntosh and attacking McIntosh. Clearly, he's the guy to beat here.
Well, I think he's been the leader all along because of name ID and the fact that he raised a lot of money personally. But the fact that they're running these spots where they've got a picture of Susan Brooks and John McGough on TV clearly says that this race has tightened up dramatically. I don't think they expected this kind of a tightening up at the end. And I think it's up for grabs. I really do.
Who's got the better shot at taking McIntosh out, Brooks or McGough?
I think those two, probably Brooks. I mean, she has support of a faction. You can't really say the party anymore because the party is so many different pieces.
Right.
We can't have the same conversation we would have had 10 years ago or 20 years ago in that district or any other district. But there are the remnants of a party structure and apparatus that backs her. And to Mike's point about the ground game, the ability to get turnout, you know, it seems to me the super PACs can incite a lot of emotion and maybe can get you to answer a poll even, I'm for this person and again this person. Whether that necessarily translates into the same as having a volunteer go get Aunt Betty out of bed and drag her to the polls, which is the traditional ground game, this is going to be an interesting test case.
And Wayne Siebold didn't fire a negative shot in the whole thing.
That's my point completely. I think of those two, Wayne Siebold wins. I don't think either one of those, McGough or
Brooks. He wasn't even an option. He wasn't in my multiple choice.
Well, but he's an
quiz.
Option because he's out there. And look, 40% of that district is in the northern part, all right? And Siebold has been working that very hard, is very well known in that. He's been working like crazy in the rest of it, has not fired a negative shot. And if you have a split in the Hamilton County between Brooks and McGough, and people are upset with McIntosh, I think Siebold can slip right in there and win
the
whole thing.
Where's McIntosh's base? Which house or rent room is he renting this week to run?
When you
talk about being endorsed by the party, he was the hand-picked creature of the party bosses. They said, you stay out of the 6th, you can have the 5th.
Yeah, in fact,
the
super PAC that's supporting him has contributions from Al Hubbard, Jim Kittle.
You're right. That's why I said that was part of the power structure at one point, but that ain't necessarily the existing
They're not
power
the
structure.
Ground troop motivators.
All right, give me a prediction. Who wins the 5th?
One of my friends.
Who wins?
Well, I'm hoping for Susan Brooks.
Who wins?
I got a feeling it's Siebold.
I have no idea. It's going to be extremely close.
One of the candidates.
One of Mike's friends.
Who are you picking?
I think it's going to be McIntosh.
Yeah.
Mitch Daniels likes to stay out of GOP primary fights, but he's in the middle of one in Hamilton County. Todd Houston is running for a seat in the State House of Representatives, and his TV ad carries an endorsement from the governor.
Todd Houston will work to keep spending low and taxes lower.
Houston is a former top aide to state school superintendent Tony Bennett and plays up his connections.
Former treasurer of the state Republican Party, working closely with the governor and with Tony.
You've been at odds with the governor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Debbie Driscoll is running against Houston. Union workers and teachers appear in her ad.
We need a strong voice. Debbie Driscoll is that voice that speaks for us.
In case you don't know, we have a new district in Fishers.
She tells voters that she supports the right to work bill passed by Republicans and signed by the governor, but points to state house rallies and says it wasn't handled properly. Her biggest contributions come from unions.
The side against right to work doesn't feel that they were heard and understood. And I'm compassionate to that.
My opponent's campaign, you look around and go, these are the people that have been the most ardent opposition to Governor Daniels and the Republican agenda the last 8 years.
John Katzenberger, is that a referendum on Mitch Daniels?
Well, you know, clearly the governor is playing a role in this, and I think that it will be a referendum, and it's probably a good thing to have his support at this point. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's what it is.
Mitch Daniels' behavior has been interesting here. He said all along that he didn't like to get involved in primaries. He would endorse Dick Lugar because he was his mentor. At this point, he's saying that he'll support Richard Murdoch if he wins. In the meantime, he issued this endorsement, and now this week he issued an endorsement for Luke Messer in the 6th.
You're saying there's inflation here? They get devalued as more and more currency enters the market? I don't know.
Or is he finding friends in trouble and feeling the need to help?
Maybe a little bit of that. I don't think you can say that Mitch Daniels is ineffective in helping shape these types of races. I mean, look at the current composition of the Indiana General Assembly. I mean, most of the freshmen that turned the House Republican were recruited and touted, if not in a very explicit fashion, certainly financed and underwritten pushed along by Mitch Daniels, who we will all stipulate is a very good political strategist. I don't know what to make of the fact that we had one unusual endorsement, now two, now three. your answer is probably as good as any.
Every one of those three people had some connection to Mitch's political life, either in helping create his political life, in the case of Dick Lugar, to helping him shape his agenda as governor in one way or another. So these endorsements are not out of hand at all. And as far as I like the idea that the governor, with the third most popular governor in America, has the courage to go out and do this kind of thing. Most people would take a pass completely and wouldn't even get involved in these kind of races.
Okay, so the unions are spending a lot of money in Republican primaries, in particular the lunch pail Republicans. Are they going to have any success on Tuesday?
I guess we'll wait and see what the turnout is. And I think Mike's right on the fact that these people are connected to the governor in some form or another, and you are correct that they are in trouble. And so he's wading in, and we'll see just how much weight that carries with the three people he endorsed.
Vice President Joe Biden flew into the Gary Airport this week and then traveled to a Munster home where Democratic National Committee member Ann Bognowski held a fundraiser. The vice president's wife, meanwhile, visited the Ivy Tech campus in Gary. The Post-Tribune reports Joe Biden met with some college students and touted Ivy Tech's partnership with the local steel industry to train students for jobs at the factories. John Schwanes, there was no Indiana media opportunity with the vice president. Is that a surprise?
Oh, I don't know. I think this trip and a companion trip afterward, I think even the same evening out to Kansas City for a very similar private fundraiser. This was about raising money for the reelection campaign. He was, I think, spent all of an hour and 15 minutes at the home in Gary. And they're designed to ring the cash register. I don't think they were necessarily designed to be voter rallies.
For those of us in Indiana who 4 years ago got, you know, the 48 trips by Barack Obama and the 100 trips by the Clinton family, we kind of turned back the clock. Now we're back to where we used to be, where these candidates come to town and they want to make sure they don't make a mistake because they know how it's going to turn out here. Mitt Romney's coming Monday. No media component there from what I've heard so far.
What are they afraid of, Jim?
I don't.
What are they afraid of?
They're afraid of.
No, I'll tell you. I think it is disappointing. Why not take advantage of an opportunity to get a little more free media? But they are concerned about what is going to be said or what may be said or how it's interpreted. So, you know, it is unfortunate. We got spoiled in 2008 when it came to the opportunities.
If you're worried about an inferiority complex for the Hoosier State,
I'm not.
Well, here, but to your point or your question, I think the entry price for the Indiana event was $250.
Yeah.
The same event, the same night, the entry level in Kansas City at a house also $5,000. So now you can really get it.
Well, you can always give $50,000 to Romney if you want to.
I think it's wrong for all of these folks not to do the media. I think it's just absolutely wrong. You should take advantage of the fact that you're on location, and you should give it to the local media folks first.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that much contact with these candidates. I think it would be smart politically in the long haul. I assume Nancy Pelosi's doing one with John Gregg and Joe Donnelly tonight when she's in the state for a state dinner.
I knew that was going somewhere.
She should. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Joe Biden comes in and out.
I think he'll be back.
Nobody got a picture.
I think Barack Obama will be back. And they'll be campaigning as opposed to raising money. It's a different dynamic, that's all. It's not anything personal against you, Jim.
I didn't suggest that it was. There's been another case of misplaced money in state government. The state auditor's office recently disclosed mistakes of more than $500,000 in the distribution of auto excise tax money to counties. Auditor Tim Berry sent out an email apology to county auditors this week. Berry is taking the rap for mistakes that led some counties to receive too much money in the April distribution and others too little. It follows two software mistakes in the Department of Revenue that resulted in more than $500 million being discovered in the wrong accounts. In the email, Berry tells auditors that, quote, controls failed in this circumstance. As a result, he says, we have modified these controls. The governor also addressed the matter.
No government that ever was 100% perfect. And that's why we built systems to catch problems and fix them as fast as we can. The good news is there's lots of money these days to keep track of. And we'll make sure it all gets in the exact right bag, all the beans get in the right bag real quickly.
And Delaney, is that a good response?
You know, his batting average wouldn't get him in the major leagues. It wouldn't even get him in the Haverford Little League. I mean, it's disgraceful. The most basic function of state government is to collect revenue and to disperse it, okay? We had to spend, what, $1 million to create the Office of Management and Budget because we were going to be so good at this. All they're doing is correcting mistakes that shouldn't have been made in the first place. It is like Keystone Cops. They can't even get the basic stuff correct.
There is some embarrassment.
This is your classic much ado about nothing. This is a $19 million that gets distributed every month by the auditor's office. What happened was they sent out the April assessment saying this is what you're going to get for April. The lady that's been doing this for 17 years sent out the March distribution amount instead of the April distribution amount. They notified all the auditors on Friday that we're going to send you the wrong amount. When you get it Monday, leave it there. We'll correct it. And so nobody lost money. Nobody did anything. This was a clerical error.
It took them a little over a week.
This was a clerical error. This was not a programming error or anything like that. And everybody got their money. Everybody was whole before they ever got it. They didn't even spend it for 2 months. So nobody was out any money. Even Democrat auditor in St. Joe County called and thanked them for doing it the way they did it, because if they would have called it all back, then it would have taken longer to redistribute all this money. So this is much ado about nothing, but it's a great opportunity people to take.
Okay, how about
Tim Berry? $500,000 is a rounding error in state government.
Tim Berry did a full disclosure and sent an apology email.
That was a classy thing to do. Sure, take blame. Nothing wrong with that. But I will say, if you're an organization who pays Indiana taxes, if you ever there was a good time to get audited, it's probably right about now, because maybe the auditors are going to have a little less moral authority or a little less bravado than they might have. And certainly, if you're defending it, you can say, well, I think the governor just said something about nobody's 100% right.
Mike is exactly right. This would have been much ado about nothing if those other two errors hadn't occurred.
Right.
That's the problem for this case.
All right. Finally, predictions. Let's start with the 6th District GOP primary. You got Lugmesser, Travis Hankins, and Don Bates Jr. in there.
I think, you know, I mean, obviously this is theirs, but I think that's going to be a lot closer than everybody thinks.
Between Messer and Hankins.
Hankin.
This was Messer's to lose, and this has tightened up dramatically. I still think Messer pulls it out.
Hankins is a Tea Party candidate.
Lugmesser, and again, he's a former executive director of the state committee. He has grassroots organizing know-how. We'll see.
I'll say Messer, but I won't be surprised if it goes to Hankins.
I agree with you. Messer hangs on, I think, but it's going to be tight. All right, 9th District Democrat. You got three quality candidates looking to take on Todd Young.
Shelley Yoder.
Shelley Yoder, a former Miss Indiana from Bloomington.
Right.
doesn't make any difference. Todd Young's going to win that district.
We'll see.
You know, there are three candidates basically on the Democratic side who probably have a legitimate shot. Two have got racked up a lot of endorsements, one not so much. We'll go with Miss Indiana. It all comes down to
you
that
wish.
In the end.
Well, I'm glad you
wish.
Did your homework on that one.
I think I'm going to go back to the Hamilton days and say Willingham has a real shot at
Robert
this.
Robert Willingham?
Yeah, I think so.
Former Lee Hamilton aide? No, yeah. I think it comes down to him or Yoder, and I'm going to go with Yoder. All right, surprise to look for on election night.
If Richard Lugar wins.
I agree with Ann Delaney.
All right.
Let's keep it going.
And that will be a surprise.
Yeah, that would be a surprise. Okay. I say watch for the possibility of Christy Risk beating Larry Bouchon in the 8th District GOP primary.
That would be not going to happen.
Well, it may not happen, but that would be another Tea Party victory in that Murdoch's area.
We have a total Tea Party slate for the Republicans.
That's Wonderful. Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanes, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shello of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in 1,000 different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the 1,000 and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.